God has never, ever intended for you or me or any other human being ever born in this earth to be in poverty and lack and hurt and pain and sickness and disease.
Some teach that poverty promotes holiness, but does God agree? Join Kenneth Copeland as he shares from God's Word how we've been redeemed from poverty and see how that revelation changed the course of one family's future. Coming up on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Father, as we come before your Word in this, I'm inquiring of you, sir, and by faith I am receiving from your Spirit, words to express your heart. And we thank you and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hate poverty. Not poor people. No. I love people. Oh, my goodness. Amen. Now, Gloria and I, we experienced lack, but we were not in poverty.
That's right.
Poverty. Poverty, I don't know how anybody could get the idea that there's some kind of hidden blessing in it. No. The scripture says poverty will come on you. It tells you certain things that if you insist on carrying this out, that poverty will come on you like an armed man, not like a blessing in the night.
No. For sure.
God has never, ever intended for you or me or any other human being ever born in this earth to be in poverty and lack and hurt and pain and sickness and disease.
That's right.
And we're going to see from the scripture tonight that he does not want you or any of his people anywhere, anytime, to be dependent on anybody but him.
Amen. Amen.
He doesn't want you dependent on the government. He doesn't want you dependent on somebody. He doesn't want you dependent on a job. He doesn't want you dependent on your mama, your daddy. He wants you to be dependent on him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Jesus will do you good.
Yes.
Amen. And it has gotten so, I mean, it's been in me now for over 40 years but I'm telling you, just recently, it's become such a strong force within me. And I heard the Lord say this. You remember a few years ago when the United States government under President Lyndon Johnson, launched the war on poverty. And there's more poverty now than there was then. Because poverty is not a money issue.
That's right.
Poverty is a spiritual issue. You can throw all the money in town at it. Money will not get rid of the devil. In fact, in most cases where money is concerned, he thrives on it.
Yeah.
Because he uses it as leverage and power. Well, yeah, but Brother Copeland, the Bible said money is the root of all evil. No, I beg your pardon. No, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Hey, You know, there are people that'll kill you over $20. You don't have to have a lot of money to act ugly. You can act ugly on little to nothing because of the love of it. Poverty will push you and press you into a love of money and things that you don't have. I know, I've had it to do me that way. And I wasn't even in poverty, I was just real broke. Amen. Now, we need to know not what religion thinks about it, not what the government thinks about it. We need to know what the Bible says about it. Yes. Now, I want you to notice that I'm reading Holy Bible.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Not something I'm reading out of the Holy Bible. So now let's go to 2 Corinthians once again. We were there yesterday evening. We want to look at this again and in a bit of different direction and with more depth. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's look beginning with the first verse there. Moreover, brethren, we do you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great, not just a trial, but a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. These people were in deep poverty. He's referenced here a great affliction. And this great trial of affliction is what caused the deep poverty. And their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. How can somebody in deep poverty be a liberal giver? It didn't say big giver. It said a liberal giver. What is a liberal giver? He says it again in this same writing here, and he calls it a cheerful giver. Amen. Their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record. Now see what he's doing? He is writing the church at Corinth. He said, now you listen to me. I'm witnessing and I'm a witness to this. I bear a record to this. So now this started something that wound up being part of the New Testament. And I sure am glad it did. Now, now follow me here. I bear a record, yea, they beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, or in other words, voluntarily, praying us with much entreaty. That's begging. Begging us that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, to take upon us their part of ministering to the saints. They were having to beg these men of God to let them give. Why? They were in deep poverty. These men were not expecting them to give. They had to beg for the opportunity. Amen. Can you see it? But now, he comes right on the heels of that. And now he's talking about them, and he's talking about the church at Corinth, and he said, therefore, now, did he say therefore? Then you need to stop and see what it's there for. That connects this verse with all that he just said. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, can you see where he is telling the church now at Corinth, referring to these people that he's given witness and record of, that they were abounding in faith? They had to have been, or they wouldn't have been begging to give when they're in deep poverty. Amen. Let us do something. We want to be a part of this. Yes. I mean, they literally begged. And I believe with all my heart, the Apostle Paul got the full revelation of this from ministering to those people and wrote it to the church at Corinth and wrote it to the church in Fort Worth. And I got in on it. Amen. As you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, all diligence, in your love to us, see to it that you abound. Notice the word abound. Pay careful attention to that. I took a red pen and underlined it there. He keeps using the word abound, talking about them, talking to them, and talking to the church at Corinth. All had to do with his getting stirred up over people that begged to give in deep poverty. That you abound in this grace, singular, this grace also. Now we've heard about the grace of faith, the grace of utterance, the grace of knowledge, the grace and of diligence in your love for the ministry. See that you abound in this grace also. Now come down to verse 9 and you'll see what that grace is. Now think what this would sound like to somebody in deep poverty. Are you with me? Amen. Some of you still looking at me like I just crawled out from under the bus. I started out by notifying you I was reading a B-I-B-L-E Bible, holy. Amen. This is not something I picked up on the street. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became just as poor as you are. That through his poverty, you might be just as rich as he is. Glory to God. Can you imagine what that sounded like? Whoa. That's the reason God had them so stirred up. To be a part of that offering was to break that poverty, because Jesus had already defeated it. Now, when did he become poor? Not while he was ministering on the earth. He was never poor while he was on the earth. But when he went to the cross, he was made a curse. Poverty is in the curse of the law. Amen. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. That's when he became poor and took that poverty. That we might be able to get our bills paid, that ain't what he said. That we might have our needs met, that's not what he said. He said that we might be rich. Boy, now I'm telling you, that sounds good to me, but don't you know that must have sounded some kind of good to somebody that was in that deep poverty, depression, and serious affliction that the governments of the day couldn't even fix. People starving to death in the streets. And find out what Jesus had done. Now, Let's go to the 9th chapter. Because this is what he's referring to in the 9th chapter. He refers to it again. For as touching the ministering to the saints. Now look at that. Look at that 8th verse. Or let's talk about the 6th verse. This I say, he which sows sparingly. Now he's not, of course he's talking to everybody. But he's still referring to those people that did not sow sparingly, even though they were in deep poverty. They gave everything they had, including themselves, and begged for the opportunity. So now you can see who he's talking to and who he's talking about. This is part of the record, he said, that I bear of these people. Oh, look at it. He that sows sparingly will reap also sparingly. So a poor man can't afford to hold back.
Amen.
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 There's scripture that says, he that withholds tends to poverty. But he that scatters abroad tends to prosperity. Amen. Here it is. But he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposes in his heart. Now those people had purposed in their heart, I'm getting in on this with something. It couldn't have been very much. On a material side, couldn't have been very much. But he said they gave of themselves willingly. We'll do anything. We'll work. Hey, let us in on this thing. Because they had a revelation of it, obviously, in their heart, that this is their way out and off the dunghill. Amen. In fact, put your marker there and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, it doesn't say one way or the other, but it is certainly a possibility and a probability that they got a hold of this scripture right here. Verse 8. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar. The beggar is in deep poverty.
Yeah.
That's when someone is begging for food. That's deep poverty. Lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. One translation says from the garbage heap. Mm-hmm. We could say today from the landfill. Living out there on that landfill trying to dig out enough to eat out of that place. That's the reason I hate poverty, because that's the way God sees the thing. He sees it as a dunghill. I probably wouldn't have been that refined. But he called it a dunghill, so we'll settle with that, okay? He lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to sit. What's his desire? Why does he do this? To set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He is looking to raise you, raise me, raise this group there that were in deep poverty, to raise up out of that mess where we're dependent on everything from the local garbage truck to haul us something to eat, to put us on top, to put us in the boardroom, to put us in the place where we're making decisions as God leads and guides. Folks, hey, I did it again. I don't preach me happy. Praise God.
My name is Tommy Smith. This is my wife, Pam. We live in Fayette, Alabama. We've been partners with the Kenneth Copeland Ministries for going on 30 years now. When we first got married, I had been saved probably less than a year, and Pam had been in church most of her life. And, you know, we were taught not to listen to TV ministers. And I would slip around and I would begin to listen to Kenneth Copeland. And by this time I was pastoring, and I would watch him before I would go to church. And I told her one Sunday morning, I said, Pam, sit down and listen to what he's saying. And she sat down and she listened to him. And from that time on, she was sold on the biblical teaching that Brother Copeland was bringing to us.
Things just begin to turn around in our lives from listening to Kenneth Copeland. He was teaching us that we were to prosper because we had never heard that before. You know, we lost our baby. We had the medical bills. We were afraid to answer the telephone. Our finances were really bad.
I remember one day I got down on my knees and broke the poverty curse in our lives. It was a very real issue with us. And we broke that, and within just, two or three years, we were completely out of debt. God began to bless us. We began to sow into the ministry and began to trust God. We began to look at our offerings as seed being planted. They began to grow. They began to mature, and things just began to happen.
We cut up our credit cards, decided we're not buying anything on credit. I got the job that I was wanting. I feel like God put that in my heart to be a teacher. I always wanted to be a teacher.
Every business that I start prospers. I'm able to sell it for money. I'm at the right place at the right time for property. We were in church one morning, and we were into the Word, and Pam was leading praise and worship in church. My son had already told me that he was going to medical school. He'd already told me how big of a check we was going to have to the first year, and then that was going to be for 4 years, and then if he specialized, it would continue on. And I was having, as Brother Copeland says, the pity party right there in church while worship was going up. But anyway, the Lord spoke up to me and said, I'm his father and I'm your father. And he said, it's in my hands. And then we'd come home, and I was sitting in the sunroom, and I was watching a praise-a-thon. And all of a sudden I said, Pam, bring me the checkbook. I just felt like sending an offering. She said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm paying for my son's education. Now, that came from God. That came right out of the Spirit of God, because I was not thinking that. And I wrote that check, I mailed it in, and the next week things began to click. He went through 4 years of pre-med, 4 years of medical school, 4 years of internship, and 2 years of a fellowship. And when he went to work, he owed nobody a dime. There was not a dime owed anywhere. That little check that I wrote that morning turned into probably close to $350,000. I tell everybody, I put three kids through college. I put my wife through college. I put my son and I put my daughter through college. The businesses that I've had has been prosperous, but nothing to have done what we've accumulated in that, without God being in it. And I do know that it's because of the teaching and the training that I have received from Brother Copeland's ministry that's caused that. We're financially secure as far as the world would look at it. Of course, I know that our security is in God. I realize that. But we have a beautiful family. All of our immediate family are saved. Our children, our grandchildren are getting saved.
It's just exciting to walk by faith and not have to struggle anymore. Just walk by faith and just trust God for whatever we need.
People come to my office and I'll have a CD going or the internet going. And people will say, is that Brother Copeland? Is that Gloria Copeland? I really like to hear them. And so people are listening. And that's what I like about the Kenneth Copeland ministry. I believe the integrity of it is there, and I would continue to support it, and I would recommend that anybody give to this ministry.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event.
Living Victory Orlando Faith Encounter, Champions Gate, Florida, April 18th through 19th with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Living Victory Las Vegas Faith Encounter, Las Vegas, Nevada, May 30th through 31st with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. The 2014 Peru Victory Campaign. Kenneth Copeland will be in Lima, Peru, June 6th through the 7th at the Eduardo Diwos Coliseum. Jesus said, with faith, you could tell a mountain to move, and it would obey you. If obstacles stand in your way, it may be time to wake up your faith. The 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan for Faith That Can Move Mountains, the newest installment of the Kenneth Copeland Ministries Lifeline series, is here to help you grow your faith. With 10 video lessons with Kenneth or Gloria, fresh new worship songs, an all-new Faith Scriptures CD by Kenneth, scripture cards for you to confess daily, and easy-to-follow written lessons. Renew your mind with God's Word and become strong and confident in the faith you have. Move the mountains of debt, sickness, bondage, or fear out of your life. Take 10 days and develop the unbeatable spirit of faith that can move mountains. Order your 10-day spiritual action plan for faith that can move mountains from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for just $19.95, a savings of 20%. Wake up your faith. Take 10 days and develop the unbeatable spirit of faith that can move the mountains in your life. For an additional 10% off, order your Lifeline kit online. For this and other faith-building teachings from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
We really love to bring you these testimonies like the one you saw today because they encourage your faith, and it's a demonstration of how God's Word will work for anyone who will believe it and will act on it. And we thank God that most of you that are watching this broadcast today have never really known true poverty, but I do know that many watching, you know what it's like to be enslaved by credit card debt or just not having enough to get by, not having enough to pay your bills. And God not only has redeemed us from this curse of poverty, but also from lack. And the loving God, the same loving Father that did this in the lives of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, my grandparents, He delivered them from the bondage of debt, and He will do the exact same thing for you. We have so many helpful resources on our website that will lead you to both spiritual breakthrough and help you with some practical steps in becoming financially free. So go to kcm.org and check out everything we have for you there. Thanks so much for watching today. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available on DVD or CD at kcm.org. You can also view the webcasts online at your convenience or download them as video or audio files. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's product offer. These Word-based teachings will help you live in victory. Order your copy today. Receive the great grace God is abounding toward you and live in the blessing.